wreath, the candle of hope. We light it again as we remember that Christ, who was born in Bethlehem, will come again to fulfill all of God's promises to us.
The second candle of Advent is the candle of peace. Peace is a word that we hear a lot. It is one of the things that we hope for. Christ brought peace when he first came to us, and he will bring everlasting peace when he comes again. The prophet Isaiah called Christ Prince of Peace. When Jesus came, he taught people the importance of being peacemakers. He said that those who make peace shall be called the children of God. We light the candle of peace to remind us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace and that through him peace is found. Peace is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at this candle, we celebrate the peace we find in Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the peace you give us. We ask that as we wait for all your promises to come true and for Christ to come again, that you would remain present with us. Help us today and every day to worship you, to hear your word and to do your will by sharing your peace with each other. We ask it in the name of the one who was born in Bethlehem. Amen.
So what's the difference between a Christmas alphabet and a regular alphabet? The Christmas alphabet has no L. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, we're just going to read a few verses. Isaiah 9. Starting with verse 2. Hear pages turning, that's good. It's a good sound. Okay. The people who live in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be burning fuel for fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David or over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Amen. So we're going to think a little bit later about... Let's turn to Matthew. Luke. Go to Luke's Gospel. And we're going to have another reading. And we're going to read from verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. And then we're going to sing a couple of worship songs. And this is Jesus' birth foretold. Okay, here we go. Now in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and coming in he said to her, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. For he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, "But how can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she was called barren and is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord may be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Amen. So let's sing. So, as we've already done this morning with the Advent wreath, Advent crown, I'm not sure what you want to call it, the Advent, five candles. I was preparing a message on hope, thinking that hope was the second candle, but I got it wrong. So I had to start again. The second candle, as we know, is about peace. And we look around the world and we see very little peace. In fact, we see nothing but war around the world. And Matthew 24 tells us that we should expect this to happen, that before Jesus returns, that we will see and hear of wars and rumours of wars, and this will all happen before the end will come. That there will be war, and we will not see global peace until the reign of the Antichrist, until that time when the church won't be around. However, peace as a theme is throughout the Bible, throughout the Word of God. And so this morning we're going to think about two: the peace with God, and the peace of God. Okay, they're different, the peace with God and peace of God. So when I say to you, what is the gospel? Many of us, including myself, will say, it's about the God of love. There's a God who loves us. And God loves everyone, and we're all God's children. Well, that's partly true, but there's also what it says in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We must make sure that as we are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, that we start at the beginning, that all have sinned, and all means all. On a Sunday morning, I drive a voluntary driver for Lidcare, and I take a guy to the Catholic Church every Sunday morning, and he goes and celebrates Mass. And for some reason, which I don't fully understand, when it comes to Catholicism, they don't believe that Mary, they believe that she was sinless, just like Jesus. Yet the Bible is very clear, whilst that she was blessed of God, and we read this morning that it said that she's blessed of God, favoured of God, that she was still a human being who sinned like the rest of us. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one of us is perfect this morning. I used to have a guy I used to work with when I worked at Lidmac called Gordon. And we used to have lots of discussions about the things of God. And he would say to me, "But I've never done anything really bad. I've never murdered anybody. I've never stolen. I've never done anything. But sin is sin. None of us are perfect." Perfection. You know, I love reading. I've really fallen back in love with it, and I've been reading many biographies, and there's a biography of a guy by the name of Art Blagos. I don't know if I've not mentioned him before, have I? Art Blagos. He was an assassin in the Mexican Mafia. And he was that evil. At the age of 14, he was allowed to join the Mexican Mafia. The age was 16, but he was so evil that they allowed, and he had a black hand, or I should say, has a black hand tattooed over his heart because he was that evil. He was captured and he was put in prison and on death row. And whilst he was on death row, he became a Christian, he was converted. It focuses the mind, I think, that closeness of eternity. He became a Christian. For some reason, he was released, and he didn't go through. And I met him in Cardiff when he was working for an organisation called Victory Outreach, because the power of God had transformed him, had changed him, had made him into a new creature, a new man in God. He's written a great book called Blood In, Blood Out. I would highly encourage you to watch it. But also, Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon, a very famous sermon, calling sinners in the hands of an angry God. His preaching was the catalyst for the Great Awakening in America. The fact that men and women were crying out in their churches, falling on their faces, God, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. We must be so careful that we don't sugarcoat the gospel. Because in Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. It's very, very serious. Eternal death. Separation from God. We need saving and we need a saviour. We need to tell people that God loves them. True. And when we do that, they'll say to us, but so what? There is an eternal death that needs to be shunned. I'm sure I've mentioned before about Ian McCormack, who was the deep sea fisherman, spear fisherman, who was stung 7 times by a box jellyfish and died and went to hell. And he could hear the screams. You know, people mock the whole concept of a hell. They mock. It's going to be a great place. We're going to have fun. We're going to have a party. We're going to see all our friends. We're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to have a great time. I don't want to go to that other place where God is. I want to go and have fun. And yet, the Bible's very clear that there is a place which is reserved for the devil and his angels and those that choose to turn their back on God. You know, C.S. Lewis, amazing. I mean, I'm discovering him more and more. What an amazing writer he was. What an amazing man of God he was. And in his book, The Screwtape Letters, he shares the insights into the tactics of the enemy. Firstly, to ridicule. You know, that we see in our world today that the devil is it's a ridicule. It's a people dress up. It's a ridicule. The other thing that he does is that he doesn't exist. He makes people believe it's a fantasy. It doesn't exist. I can say it here. Is this being recorded? You know what it is? Just like Father Christmas. I'll tell you this story. I used to lead a children's a group over in Cinderford. And there was a lady. Unfortunately, she's not with us anymore. She's now in glory. Jane. And I said to her, well, why don't you share the Christmas story with the children? She'd only be coming in a little while. And you see the Lord. I said, do you tell the Christmas story? There's about 50 under 11-year-olds at this children's group over in Cinderford. It was at Latimer School. And she starts off and she's got a picture of Father Christmas. And she goes, rips it up and says, he's not real and it's nothing to do with him at all. It's all about Jesus. And I'm like, I can just imagine the letters in those days. It wasn't even emails. It was going to be pandemonium. The complaints. But, having been Father Christmas already this year, over in Newnham, and I've got 2 more gigs as well, he's not real. Someone said to me over in Newnham, so are you the real Father Christmas? So what do you do? How do you answer? I said, well, I'm just one of the special helpers. Terrible. Yet, just like, as I said, Father Christmas, he makes it out that he doesn't exist. Yet that is why we need a saviour. We need a saviour. In John 3:36, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. You see, there's no fence sitting when it comes to the kingdom of God. We're not sat on the fence. You're either in or you're out. There's no grey. It's black and white. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're in the kingdom of darkness. There's no sitting on the fence. And the gospel moves on. But God, in his great mercy, not getting what we deserve. I used to get what I deserved when I was at home. I remember the times I would hear these words, "You wait till your father comes home." I got what I deserved. There was one story my mum tells, that I was in Woolworths, and I was on Raines at the time, and I went running out of the store, and she grabbed me, and she got hold of me and stopped me and smacked my leg, as you do, or not anymore. And obviously I learned the lesson from that. And the lady criticised her, said, "How cruel." She said, "Would you have rather him run out into the road?" Anyway, but I got what I deserved when I was at home. There was some mercy, I must admit, but I did get what I deserved. Yet God, in his great mercy, doesn't give us what we deserved. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but because of his great mercy, he sends a saviour. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this peace with God, not the peace of God, we'll talk about that in a minute, peace with God. The peace treaty has been signed in the blood of Jesus. We're looking across the world and we're seeing the two big conflicts at the moment, praying that there's going to be peace. But this peace treaty with the whole of the human race was signed by Jesus in his blood. We didn't have to sign anything. He did it all. In the words of that great hymn, "The wrath of God is satisfied." You see, we have to preach a full gospel. The wrath of God is satisfied by the blood of Jesus. That's the only reason. Not because of our good works, not because of what we do, not because of what we say, how we act, but because of the blood of Jesus. The wrath of God is satisfied. We move from being at war with God. Okay, as I said, there's no fence sitting here. At war with God, to being God's allies. No longer are we his enemy, but we've become sons and daughters of the living God. Hallelujah. The wrath of God is satisfied. We move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You see, with this new peace treaty, with this new peace with God, we can now have the peace of God. Being a good Anglican, we used to share, many years ago that was, we used to share the peace. You know, the peace of God, and you would, especially at communion, you would go and share the peace. Now, I was getting married to my wife and we were having our banns read at the local Anglican church, St John's in Colford. We were getting married at Bream Church, so we had to have our banns read in Bream, in Colford and in Clearwell, because that's what she carried. Anyway, so the week before we were getting married was the last time we were having our banns read. We had to go to the church in St John's. The night before, my friends decided to take me out on a stag night. Okay, it was an alcohol-free stag night, I might add. I was teetotal, and we went out, but they did decide to change my appearance. So at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was chained to the bench opposite Butty's, wearing a nice dress with engine oil dripping down my... Well, I didn't have a beard at the time. Dripping down, not like Aaron and the oil dripping down. No, it was not like that at all. And the local police officer, which I won't mention his name because it's been taped, had handcuffed me to the bench. And on the other arm, he'd handcuffed spanners, four spanners. So they decided to release me. I lived in Colford at the time. I was released, but they didn't take the spanners off. My right arm. It was on my right arm. And so I went home and I bathed and I cleaned myself and everything. But the next morning I had to go to St. John's to share the peace with the handcuffed and spanners on my arm. So I put them in the sleeve and I put some elastic bands, and so nobody could see until we shared the peace. Jangle, 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 peace of God, peace of God. Went to my own church, the Mount of Olives. I just used it as a percussion instrument then. So it was great. Praise the Lord. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. The peace, this peace is a supernatural peace. It's not a peace that we can manifest or we can make happen. It's God-given peace. What do we mean by the peace of God? It's difficult to describe. It's a lack of anxiety. It's a lack of restlessness. It's we're just chilled. It's we're not worried. We're settled. When I had a heart problem over in France, I ought to say that the French medical system is très bien, very good. And I had this heart problem. My wife was flown over by the company to see me out in France. And people were saying to her, aren't you worried? Aren't you worried? I said, no, I'm not worried at all. I've got the peace of God. God is in charge. I do not need to worry. God is in charge. The peace of God. And that was a great testimony to other people, what she did. We need to know in our lives, in our heart, that God is in charge. And we can receive this peace of God. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. And you be thankful. You know, we can turn to God and say, God, in these big decisions in my life, I want your peace. I want you to rule in my heart. I want you to have complete control. I want you to have your way. As a young Christian, the biggest decision a young Christian has to make, I'm sure you'll all agree with me, is, who should I marry? Oh. I was desperate to get married. And so, having had a number of failed relationships before I was a Christian, not marriages, but failed relationships, I said to the Lord, Lord, whoever I go out with next, I want them to be my wife. That's what I said to the Lord. That was my... And so, I went out on a mission to find a wife. I was about... And so, many of the young ladies in the church received flowers from me. And none of them went out with me. In fact, one of them went out with another boy and used my flowers as her garland. That's true. Eventually, I met Claire, and the rest is history. We've married for 32 years, and we've never had a cross word. She's wonderful. Saint Claire, they call her. He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because He trusts you. You know, we can trust God with the big decisions of our lives. We can trust Him in every area of our life. But we can allow Him, when He has control, we can have that peace. God is in control. But the key is focusing on Jesus. Keeping our mind stayed on Him. Romans 12:2. But do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So this morning, I'm not asking you to shout out now, alright? What's your conversation been this morning? Has it been about Strictly? Has it been about rugby? or the lack of rugby on the telly, that's really bad. Has it been rugby? Has it been about Jesus? Yeah, we look at the parable of the sower and we can see the word of God sown and the cares of this world grow up and choke the word of God and stop the word of God from bearing fruit. You know, the cares of this world can hinder us from serving God and rob us of peace and rob us of all those things that we need. Rob us of our trust, because we can look at those things around us and we can worry and be anxious. But we know Matthew 6 says, don't worry. You don't need to worry about anything. Look at the birds of the air. Look at look at this amazing creation of mine. They don't need to worry about it. What about you? That's my paraphrase. What about you? Why are you worrying when you're so much more precious? The pinnacle of God's creation. We need to spend time in his presence. Now, I do have a tendency to talk a lot. Although I did go on a silent retreat for 7 hours. Not a spoken word in 7 hours. Can you just imagine it? But it was amazing. It was wonderful just spending time in God's presence, allowing him to speak to me through his word, just through worship, whatever it was. No spoken word. Even when we had lunch, nobody talked. Just spending time in God's presence, allowing the peace of God to just, and the word of God to just fill your heart and mind. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I've got a friend who I go swimming with. He's 90 years of age. He used to be a foot surgeon. And he's convinced that when we die, that's when we receive the peace of God. In fact, everybody receives the peace of God, which part, no matter whether they're Christians or not, whether they could be Muslims or Buddhists or no faith at all, that's what he believes, and it's wrong. And it's wrong. And we have to stand for the truth. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. See, anxiety and worry and fear can stop God's supernatural peace happening in our lives. But they're choices that we have to make. We are given choices. We can choose this to happen. We can choose to allow the things of God to rule. We can choose not to be anxious. We can choose not to worry. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, I am not going to worry. I had to drive to London yesterday to see my mother. And I've always said, no, I don't worry about things. But I did worry. I did worry about the journey. And I had nothing to worry about because it was fine, both there and back. And I know we need to take wise advice and counsel, but on this occasion, I was worrying unnecessarily. I've had to repent of that. But we can choose not to worry. We can choose to take it all to Jesus. We used to sing a chorus hundreds of years ago now. Oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what joy. I can't remember the beginning of the words. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you, yes. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's it, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. But we used to sing it a long time ago, and it's true. What a peace we often forfeit because we don't take it to the Lord in prayer, because we don't allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. You see, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We've read it from Isaiah chapter 9. For us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. I used to live in a flat in Colford, and I had a 125 moped to get me to work, to Lydney. Now, on the way down, it used to take me 20 minutes to get to work. On the way back, 3/4 of an hour. But I had this, I'm trying to paint a picture for you. I had this all-in-one green fluorescent wetsuit, not wetsuit, to stop me getting wet, all-in-one. And I was singing at the top of my voice a song, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son, and the government shall be, and he will be called Wonderful." Well, anyway, I was singing that all the way to work and all the way home on this little moped with my green fluorescent suit on. Great! It was wonderful. You know, we celebrate his birth at Christmas. The birth, we don't know when he was born. People say to me, so why does Easter move when the birth of Jesus is still the same? Well, because we don't know the date he was born. Some people say October, other people say June. And they look at all the scriptures and the things around the scriptures and come up with this potential. We choose to celebrate his birth at Christmas. And we need to be honest about that as believers. Yeah? We choose to celebrate his birth. And this birth, you know, we have this picture, we see these pictures on our tellies of, it was traumatic. I've just read the first book of The Chosen. I don't know if you've seen any of it or what. I cried, I laughed, I cried again, I shouted. Just reading the book, and I haven't even watched the TV program. Just the nativity and what happened, and oh wow. And the concept, and thinking about what they went through. In reality, we have this sanitized picture of the nativity, and when the truth was, it was traumatic. But we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And this second candle, the Prince of Peace, representing peace. Peace with God. Because, and through the Prince of Peace, peace of God, because and through the Prince of Peace. Peace. You know, we desire to see cessation of war and peace. But that's not what the Bible says. We're going to continue to hear of wars and rumours of wars. But the peace, the Prince of Peace, brought peace for the whole of mankind. That we can have peace with God. And then we could have the peace of God. So let's celebrate his birth. The peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Ooh, sorry.